So here we go. We are, well, I guess you could say enjoying this whole issue of flies in the house. How many of you have had those flies not only bother you in the house, but in the yard? You're trying to mind your own business, enjoying some watermelon, some good old juicy, sweet watermelon. And the flies decided they were going to join you. I tell you, those rascals don't mind inviting themselves to anything.
Signature characteristic of our... Sorry, I'm going to start over. Hey, get out of here.
That's the most persistent fly I've ever seen. Nice.
Now, where were we?
There was a fly that was bothering the president, President Obama, and it paid with his life.
That was pretty impressive, wasn't it? I got the sucker. What do you think, Gibbs?
That is very good. It's on. It's right there.
It's right there. You want to film that? There it is.
Quick! The president, President Obama, put a fly out of his misery. It probably literally didn't know what had hit it. It probably never saw it coming, or if it did, it didn't have long to see it. Yes, indeed. Okay, so we're taking a look at these flies. Prudick watched a video of the president dealing with these flies, or watched a video of the flies, and she said even though she watched the same video that her colleague watched, she came away with a different opinion about what needed to be done. She said, you know, we all think that Obama's a ninja, but she wrote in an email, watching the video, those seemed like larger, slower flies. Since the 44th president was able to knife hand strike the pest, she thinks that they might be cluster flies. That species is bigger than the house fly and easier to kill by hand, and it also has a completely different reproductive strategy. Cluster flies lay their eggs in soil. When the larva emerges, it begins to seek out earthworms. Yeah, once the young pest finds the worm, it begins to eat it alive until the larva is ready to pupate into an adult cluster fly. They usually only come indoors for the colder months and literally cluster around the windows of a warm building. And so Prudick is saying that she's guessing that they're waking up from hibernation while they're in the White House. And there's an unlikely third candidate. And so, of course, this is just Prudick's opinion of what might be going on. Here's an unlikely third candidate, the stonefly. Previously, we'd had a short interval of somewhat warm weather, particularly up there in D.C. And Stanton Andrew Gill, an entomology specialist at the University of Maryland Extension, said that he had received videos of stoneflies in and around residential houses. He works with the commercial horticultural industry in the state, and living in the region gives him some insight into the swamp that someone from Arizona might not have. But stoneflies look significantly different from both flies so far discussed because their bodies are elongated and they have protracted, pointy antennae. Until the species mystery is solved, the flies will probably remain. They've got to find out. They've got to determine what species of fly is plaguing the White House. And Gill says there's really no solution until you identify. Flies are all driven by two crucial motivators, food and breeding location. But each kind of pest needs a customized response. They point out that controlling cluster flies is difficult since they're less dependent than other species on food sources during the winter. Seeing as earthworms are beneficial in many ways, you know, they improve soil quality, drainage taking steps to limit the cluster fly's main meal is not a great option. Neither is spraying pesticide once the insects have huddled indoors. How many of you were thinking, all right, let's just find those rascals and spray them. Let's put something on them that'll take them out. And you were thinking about insecticide. I was thinking about that too. But they're saying that spraying insecticide once the insects have huddled indoors is not effective, or at least is not a great option, because their carcasses might attract harmful insects like carpet beetles, which, after devouring the dead flies, will move on to wool, dry food, and anything else they can get their mandibles on. So, Gill says the best time to limit cluster flies is when they're migrating indoors. If it was a cluster fly, the most he would say would be to tighten up the house, trap them. The easiest way to control stone flies is by making sure there's no standing pools around, since they lay their eggs in water. Proper sanitation sealing garbage cans and immediately throwing away leftovers could help with house flies, since they're always trolling for nutrients and breeding locations. They're also drawn to sweet-smelling lures like certain kinds of sticky traps. Yeah, there's a way to get those rascals. Admittedly, though, large yellow ribbons of dead flies might kind of dampen the dignity of one of our country's most iconic buildings. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think should be done? How do we get rid of these flies? All right, having had that great discussion on flies, let's hear a little bit about pain now, courtesy of Seeker.com. Do you think that there is a way to get rid of it altogether? Do you suppose that maybe some pain is good for us? I'm just asking you. Well, let's check out what they have to say about pain and where we might be headed with regards to pain.
You know what hurts? Pain. But why does pain have to hurt so much? And could we maybe dial it back a bit if the pain gets too intense? Thanks to a recent study from Stanford University, we may just be able to control how we experience pain. As much as it hurts, pain is useful in most cases. It lets us know that what's happening is bad for us, or when something is seriously wrong. Without it, we would easily injure ourselves or not realize our bodies aren't functioning as they should. In fact, there is a rare condition called congenital insensitivity to pain with anhidrosis, or SIPA, and people suffering from it can break bones without even knowing it or overheat easily, which is especially dangerous when they're children. So pain is a good thing, or at least the ability to feel it is. But there are those on the other extreme of the spectrum who experience chronic pain. For them, it mostly serves no purpose other than discomfort and agony. Drugs like opioids can dull the pain, but they can be extremely addictive and impact other parts of the brain. So identifying exactly which neurons control the discomfort that comes with pain can lead to new drugs that allow people to still know they're hurting, but without the actual hurt. That's where a 2019 study published in the journal Science by researchers at Stanford University comes in. The researchers probed mouse brains for where pain was felt. And when I say probed, I mean that literally. They attached miniature microscopes to the mice's heads and observed their brains in real time while the mouse was just walking around doing mouse stuff. The scientists' target was the amygdala, which in humans is a small, almond-shaped area associated with processing emotions. But it's really dark inside a mouse's brain. So, to see what was going on, researchers introduced a fluorescent protein that lit up whenever neurons fired. With microscopes and glowteens in place, researchers started poking and prodding the mice to see what areas lit up when they were in discomfort. They found about 150 neurons in a region called the basolateral amygdala that sparked up when the mouse was in pain and glowed more brightly when the pain was more intense. But the scientists weren't looking for neurons that signaled pain, but the ones that signaled it was unpleasant. To find out if the neurons they'd spotted were the ones they were looking for, the researchers created chemical switches that allowed them to turn the neurons on and off. When the researchers switched the neurons off, the mice could still sense pain and would show it by displaying their usual reflex to withdraw from painful stimuli. But they didn't show signs the pain was unpleasant, like by avoiding the stimuli or by licking their paws. Essentially, they could still feel pain, they just didn't mind it so much. When the researchers switched off the same neurons in mice with chronic pain, they found the mice didn't mind the light touches that used to harm them anymore. If neurons that work the same way can be found in humans, and if these neurons have unique receptors, then it might be possible to develop drugs that target them and turn down their activity. That would be huge news for sufferers of chronic pain, or even those in intense pain who might otherwise be prescribed drugs that are addictive and imprecise. It's probably still a ways off, so in the meantime, do your best not to hurt yourself. Would you let scientists attach a microscope to your brain if it meant making a major breakthrough? I might, but you know, only if I had a live stream I could watch on my phone so I could see my brain. It'd be cool. Thanks for watching.
What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? All right. You're aware of the pain, but it doesn't really bother you that much. Interesting concept. Back in just a few.